Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda and I have my co-host Margaret Sheldon on the line. And I just want to say Happy New Year. Can you believe it? It's 2019. Isn't that crazy, Margaret?
I cannot.
It's wild.
I'm still in shock. Well, you and I are both saying, I'm still walking around going, what day is it? Today's Friday? What? Yeah, impossible.
Yeah. The last of my two sons.
No,
I was just going to say the last of my two sons left yesterday, so it's like, oh, it's so quiet. I'm so sad. But
see,
it was a great holiday.
Yeah, I'm funny. I'm kind of the other way. I love it when they're here, but I'm also kind of okay when they're gone.
Well, I'll never tell that.
You know, I know. Well, that's all right. I tell them. But the truth is, and especially it makes me think, oh, my gosh, the day my husband retires, we're going to need a plan in place. Because I think one of the pleasures of having your children grown is that, especially if you're working from home, it's like you get back into your rhythm and the peace and productivity goes up with direct correlation to the quiet. I just love it. I love being in my routine. So, yeah, it's all good.
Remember, you have the grandchild thing that comes with your children. That's a little more impactful than just having your kids come home. You know what I mean? And
absolutely.
So even though it's got to be the most amazing thing in the world, I can't even imagine. It's you deserve that peace and quiet.
Yeah.
No, we're very fortunate. Yeah. I have all my Christmas stuff down, but I have to take it out to the garage. I've kind of got the cold flu, and it's been cold for Los Angeles. It's been like 40 at night, which for us is cold. That's like practically snow. So the thought of going out there right now, you know, forget it. We're going to get rain tomorrow, I believe, which I'm super happy about. But, it's a new year. I have a gazillion things planned. I know you're shocked. The biggest of which is the remodel project that we have going on in Waco, Texas, with the fixer-upper house we bought. We had a little bit of a snag last week, but I have a post coming out on the blog, My 100-Year-Old Home, on Monday, which has pictures, plans, renderings, all the good stuff.
Ooh,
and so right
great.
Now I'm just working with a lot of brands to incorporate them into the remodel. So I'm super excited.
That's
kind of hard to believe.
I can't believe it's moving along. Yeah.
It really is.
Well,
it's going to be done in April. It took forever in the beginning, like it always does, primarily because there was a couple things I wasn't happy about, and I realized I needed professional plans done. My sister-in-law, hello, is a construction, I don't know what she's listening to this, she's going to kill me, but she has a degree, and she works on CAD, and she did all the plans for me and all the renderings, and it was so great working with her. So now we have a floor plan with furniture. And it's so smart because before our laundry room, what we had designed, you wouldn't have been able to open the washing machine door.
It
wasn't going to be wide enough. So all those things are awesome. So I'm very excited. It's going to be a big project, and I'll be there in 2 weeks. And I'll be there in February, and I'll be there in March, and I'll be there in April, and I'll be there in May. So it's all good.
Yeah.
So,
that's great.
No complaints.
All right. And I took some of our advice. It's always important, I think, if we're going to give advice, to take a little of it, which is that I actually did do a bit of forecasting and planning. I'm gonna tell you the truth and expose myself. I can't believe how many times I have, you know, a show or something that I know I want to enter, you know, a juried show, and then it either gets too close or I'm not ready. So this time I got everything on the calendar for January. And last night I was clicking enter. I had the photographs done. I had the pieces I wanted, you know, because they always have these wild themes that you somehow try to fit into if you're applying to a juried show. And
that's awesome.
I felt great. Probably won't get into anything. You know how that goes. The more confident you are, that just means you're going to be that much more surprised if you get rejected. But I felt really good about ticking it off and, you know, at least kind of using the systems that I have to make it happen.
Right.
We'll see how that is going forward. I feel like the entire year is planned out. I decided to do a couple of workshops, kind of some that are familiar to me and some that aren't, just because I wanted to. And,
mm-hmm.
Just booked a week on Monhegan Island again,
adult
art camp. So I'm excited about that. But I feel like my calendar for 2019, it's got a lot of stuff on it, which, I'm hoping my energy can keep pace with my enthusiasm. So we'll see.
Oh, wow. See.
All that
wow.
and a trip to Australia. So it's going to be a little wild.
Oh, I decided I'm going to France in the next couple months.
As
my son
was
walking out the door to head back to France, I'm like, I'll see you in a couple months. He's like, you will? I said, yep, I'm coming. Dave looked at me, okay. So,
well,
super
why
funny.
Not? Right?
Yes.
If
well, we do have this
somewhere
show.
Yes.
We do have this show
yes.
today that we should probably start talking about.
Let's go.
It's named Taking Risks for Growth. And Margaret, did you want to start out?
Well, sure. When Leslie and I were talking about sort of what the different themes were, I don't know, we always pull from personal experience. And I think everyone knows that this time of year, there's a lot of sort of old sayings and cliches that are going around, which, if you think about it, most of the time, cliches do come from somewhere. There's not too many cliches. They may be irritating, but they're usually true. At least there's a germ of truth in them. So the sorts of things that came to mind when I was thinking about those of us who, are in this practice of art is my children always hear these, so bear with me. But, no guts, no glory. You've got to pay to play. You get back whatever you put in. I had a ton of these. My sister had a great one. We were talking yesterday, and she said, oh, a carpenter is only as good as his tools. I think an aching muscle is a making muscle, which I think is very true. Listen, that is so true in the art world. It's when you are so frustrated that you have a breakthrough. If you wouldn't drink it, don't cook with it, which is my way of saying buy quality supplies. And then I love this one. The pie is only good as the peaches you put into it. That is right out of my grandmother's mouth. But I think it's kind of fun. The bottom line on all of these sorts of motivational cliches is that it really does take a lot of effort to be successful at anything. And I think that is especially true for an artist. The truth is, it's frustrating at times and we all love doing it. You want it to be easy, but one thing we know is that this life takes a lot of work. So that's sort of the kickoff for what we're going to talk about today.
It's really true. I mean, you get the idea. Because today we're going to talk about risk taking. And there's kind of the should and shouldn'ts about what risk and benefits that there are. And this is the time to do it. It really is. And 2 years ago, boy, it was right now where I was seriously thinking, I think there's an opportunity here and I got to figure out what it was. By far the biggest risk I've taken. I mean, huge risk. And so there are some common feelings that can hold you back. So you have to be careful. These are very universal. They can be applied to your personal life, your professional life, your art life, whatever. But sometimes just recognizing that it's stopping you is enough to get you moving. And the first is self-doubt. And it's that, I can't do this. We've all been there. Even when I even when I quit my job to become an artist, there I had a lot of self-doubt. I'm like, what the heck am I thinking? I'm not even a trained artist. I'm just painting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And self-doubt is something that it's not necessarily a bad thing, because if you kind of go through the thought process, you can pretty much kind of work through it. And if
I
you're
agree.
Doubting your talent, you can say, well, wait, I did this. I did this. Yeah, I did a show, or I have people that want to buy my art. You can answer and kind of work through those doubts. What you can't do is become paralyzed and just have all this negative stuff in your mind that's kind of become a mountain out of a molehill and just not do anything because of it. So you have to be
right.
really careful with self-doubt, because it's kind of that evil thing that raises its ugly head all the time.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Right. It sits right on your shoulder and it whispers.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's scary stuff, but that's a good point. Well, another thing that can hold you back, and I'm sure maybe not everyone, but a lot of people will be able to relate to this. It's letting sort of anyone or everyone else define what you want. People, especially when they hear, you know, you start to use the vocabulary like painting, art, I want to be an artist, I'm going to be an artist. And you hear, oh, well, you should go back to school. And we all know that that's not necessarily true, not in the traditional sense. Other people will tell you, oh, if you're going to do that, you know, you should sell through a gallery. Other people will say, oh, it's really tough to make any money in art. You should think about greeting cards. I mean, whatever. People always have these opinions. I think, Leslie, you and I are living proof that you can start out thinking one thing, and then it's part of life. It's going to morph. It's going to change. But I think it's really important to smile and nod, and people will weigh in. But kind of stay true to yourself, and if all you want to do is paint, that's up to you. But don't let people make it bigger or give you reasons why you can't do this.
Right. No, you're so right.
Yeah.
And not self-doubt, letting other people, I mean, you know how many people you talk to when I made the switch like I did, who had plenty of opinions of what I should really do and not my idea.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I proved them all wrong. But the bigger for
That's
me was
right.
when I painted abstracts. Oh, my gosh. The comments that were even made to me about that were unbelievable. And now half those artists that said those things are painting abstracts. So I'm just going to say that.
Interesting.
Another
Interesting.
Thing that can happen when you're thinking about taking a risk is the I'm too shy. I've never really been good at public speaking. I don't really know how to tell everyone what I'm doing. And you just kind of, I mean, I think artists typically are more, maybe are less outspoken perhaps. And I think it's just that creative side, because we're thinking, we're creating and not necessarily communicating. And so don't let that wonderful thing about you hold you back from maybe trying something different or taking a risk. And don't feel like you have to be super outgoing. One of the things about today's world, art world, is you can kind of hide behind your computer. As much as I hate to say that, it's been great, I think, for a lot of artists. You don't have to go out and do shows and meet people and, you know, sell your art if you're not comfortable doing that. You could do it online. And you can be hugely successful. So don't think in your mind, oh, I'm not outgoing enough, I'm too shy, I can't do something different, because that's not true.
Good.
It's
good
not.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about this one? Talk about sort of the devils on our shoulder. But insecurity. You know, we see that over and over, where someone really has this longing to be an artist or to paint more or to get better. And in their you know, they may not be saying it, but in their head they're thinking, well, everyone else is better than me. You know, I'm not good enough to sort of put my art up there with theirs. The things that hold us back, honestly, if there's one thing I would wish to share with everyone. It's that no one is necessarily better than you. They may, you know, have more skills at that point, but wherever you are is just fine. I mean, this has to be the most accepting community, the art community.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing,
oh, yeah,
I would like to just remind everyone, because when I've reminded friends who are feeling insecure, no one cares about what anyone else is doing, whether it's in, you know, an open drawing class, in a workshop. Honestly, people are focused on their own thing. So insecurity should never, ever hold an artist back. In fact,
yeah,
toss that one right out the window.
I mean, that's really smart. That's really smart. Yeah. Another thing is the privacy issue. I don't want to put myself out there. My art is personal. I think this is something that, as an artist, nobody is telling you have to share your art with anyone until you want to start selling it. And when you do make that commitment to start selling it, then yes, you are going to have to open yourself up a bit. it's just kind of the way it works. And if you want to do something different or take a risk, yes, you will probably, as Margaret said, get some comments from people who think they know better, which is not the case. I took a lot of input because I asked for it because I wanted to talk to people who were doing what I wanted to do. When I completely did a switcheroo 2 years ago, I didn't talk to anybody, but I wasn't planning on not painting as much. I was planning on finding a new audience first before I made a transition and introduced a new collection. So there's nothing wrong with wanting to keep private, but just understand when you do want to sell your art, you do have to open some doors and let some people in.
Right. And you know what? Yeah. I'll bet that yearning for privacy kind of goes away the more you paint, because the more you paint, the more you kind of, you build your skills. You start to feel a little more confident. So maybe just wait it out, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
How about this one? I know so many people in my circle who are held back from making more art because of guilt. And that is thinking, oh, I should be doing something else. I have an obligation to X. I should be doing it for someone else. I should be working for money, not for myself. I mean,
right. There's
a lot of that going on. And guilt, I don't know anybody who ever kind of progresses if guilt is their motivation, or if they're trying to maybe be motivated despite guilt. I think you really need to resolve that, because whether it's a little or a lot, you know, you can control it, you can balance it. I know a friend who always says, I'm going to get into my studio, but I really need to clean the house first. And I think, maybe you should it's the old set a timer. Go into your studio for an hour, then clean your house. Whatever it is, I think recognize guilt when it's staring you in the face and then do something about it.
Right. Right. No, I think that makes sense. Okay, another one. This is big, and it's fear of criticism.
This is big.
And I will tell you, the criticism I got when I started painting abstract paintings broke my heart. I was crushed. Mm-hmm. When friends thought they were doing me a favor by telling me what people were saying, I was devastated. And I'm pretty out there. I'm not a shy person. My whole life is on my friggin' blog and my Instagram, but it still hurts. That's just my personality. And it really, really hurts. And I was crushed. And there were plenty of times where I thought, what the heck am I doing? Why am I doing this? And then it just kind of clicked. And when I did a real big kind of marketing push to interior designers, it was unbelievable. I had designers calling me every month. I need this. I need this. I need this. And I was like, okay, this makes sense. But the thing about taking risks is I only have one chance to enjoy today, because it's going to be tomorrow before you know it. And if what I'm doing is not 100% there, I'm going to still be looking. And that's kind of what led me to this next position I'm in now, even though I am going to do a huge collection for the Waco House of paintings. I have to say that now I found it. I am so happy. I love waking up every morning and, quote unquote, going to work. It's just, it's a dream. And this whole risk-taking thing is really about finding what makes you happy. And you have to take risks to kind of go there. And plenty of things we've tried, Margaret, that didn't work, and we came back. But it wasn't like
right.
we
Absolutely.
Ruined our whole lives because of it. It was a small thing, you know? I mean, it was fine. When we both quit our jobs, I'm sure
yeah.
we both thought, oh, my God, what have we done? But are we happy now? Well, yeah.
100%. You're 100%.
Yeah.
It's really, isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's funny because the fear of criticism will come, but it's not heart surgery. You know, it's no one's going to die if you get a bad piece of criticism. You just have to decide what to do with it and move
yeah.
on. Like, people can make it so much scarier than it is. Good deal, you know?
Right.
If somebody didn't like it, decide if their opinion's good or bad.
Exactly.
All right, here's another one, and I have heard this. And I'll tell you, one of the things... I think everyone knows I'm a fairly outspoken, kind of an opinionated person. it's true. And I have heard so many people struggle because of sort of bad comments from their past. Honestly, I want to say from their childhood. You know, people who will say, oh, I always loved art, but, you know, my high school art teacher said, and then they'll tell you some inane comment that someone made to them 20 years before, 30 years, you know, that they weren't very good or they didn't have very good, you know, visual perception, whatever. I just would like to remind everyone that you don't have to, if you love art, if you're drawn to it, you don't have to be good at it in order to enjoy it. And
right.
guess what? The more you do it, the more you kind of think about it and you relax and let go, the better you're going to become. So please, anyone who ever told you you couldn't, forget them, erase them from your memory, and just enjoy what you want to do right now.
I agree.
That's the biggest benefit.
Along those lines is the I'm not ready yet kind of fear. You don't have to, I mean, you need to take baby steps.
Right.
I mean, I was painting every night for 4 years while I was working full time. It's not like I just went, okay, I'm going to start painting today and quit my job. So, I mean, it's not like it has to be this huge, big leap that you're terrified of doing. You kind of want to get your feet wet, try it out, and do some of the risk-taking when the risk is a lot less than it could be. I mean,
right.
you know, the biggest one for a lot of artists is walking away from a full-time job with benefits and everything else to be an artist. And a lot of people who do that have already tested the waters, painted for a long time, you know, or perhaps they have a spouse that has a job that can help support the family or
mm-hmm.
the two, whatever, while you're making this choice. So it's not like you're... you know, going to jump into everything for the first time and take a huge risk. I think it does happen gradually. And remember that. And if you don't
right.
take risks, you're going to be kind of pigeonholed in that role. And here's the problem with being an artist. The creative side of you needs to be nurtured. It needs to be fed. It needs to be developed. And I think the only way that can happen is if you're always kind of looking for that scenario that's going to be the best for you. And if you would have told me 10 years ago I was going to be an artist or I was going to be a blogger or I hate that term, influencer, I would have been like, yeah, sure. If you told my kids, they would have laughed for years thinking I was going to be on Instagram. But it happened and it was kind of a path that I found only because I was willing to take some risks. And you have to understand that it can definitely happen. And if you're not happy, it's really hard to be creative. If you're painting the same darn thing every single day, that's the reason why I went to abstracts. I was so intrigued,
yeah.
and I was like, wow, that's so cool, and it's so fun, and I think it would be really great to do. And I jumped, and I still was painting, and I got so many comments from people. Well, you're still painting your boats, aren't you? I'm like, oh, yes, of course I am.
and I was like,
okay, now I'm going to go paint some boats, which is fine. I still love that. So it's just kind of
yeah.
something that you need to be able to gently examine, and then if it makes sense, give it a try.
Yeah. Yep. So true.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. How about the person who, and we've all been in this boat, kind of believes that negative voice in their head, you know, and this isn't like someone criticizing you. It's not somebody from your past who told you you maybe weren't good enough or whatever, but this is like self-inflicted. Ooh, I haven't practiced enough yet in order to take the first class, or I need to take more classes or workshops before I, whatever, fill in the blank, enter a show, join an art association, put my art on Facebook or Instagram, you know. And then the other one, oh, I can't be an artist because I don't have a BFA. I don't have a degree in art. Oh, my goodness, everyone, just settle down. Just the thing that the most important thing you can do for yourself is paint and don't worry about the shoulds. I think that's what I would say. Don't worry about you should have practiced more before going to a workshop. Find a workshop that doesn't say for an intermediate or advanced painters. Find the one that's open to all. I haven't taken enough classes. Stop worrying about it. Throw it up on Facebook or Instagram. Show people. Show
mm-hmm.
people what you're doing. You won't believe how many people will tell you, A, that they love it, and B, they love you're doing it. I mean, sort of the negativity, I mean, this is true, of course, throughout our lives, but certainly in terms of if that negative voice is stopping you from doing what you want to do, you've got to figure out a way to just tune it out.
Right. No, it's so, so true.
Yeah.
Another thing is that everyone else is doing it. I want to do something unique, even if I've dreamed of painting for years. And it's hard. And this could go either way. This can be everyone else is doing it, so I want to do it, or everyone else is doing it, so I don't want to do it. And
it's
kind of a double-edged sword, because we all get caught into that. And then there's
right.
the, oh gosh, someone's doing this and it's so cool and I want to do it, but I can't copy it. So how can I do it in my own way? There's never an easy way. It's always a challenge. But were you going to say something?
We just make it harder for ourselves, don't you think?
I know, completely.
Sometimes,
yeah.
I mean, because the other side of everyone is doing it is, well, no one else is doing it. Like, what are my friends going to think? If I
right.
go, like, what will it be like to go by myself? I'll have to
whatever.
If I go to a workshop, I won't know anyone. Oh, for heaven's sake, stop worrying about it. It's great to go to a workshop with a friend, but I have to tell you, probably I would say the thing I've gotten the most out of was – after I quit my job, I knew I needed a plan, and so I booked a local workshop, didn't know where I was going or what it would be like. You know what? No one is friendlier than the other people in the workshop. I mean, we've
yeah.
seen that time and again. Lifelong friendships are made. And the other thing is, who cares? Go and focus on yourself. This is such an opportunity. And I'm really talking to the person who's maybe at the beginning of this kind of adventure and is a little nervous, and you know, they can come up with all sorts of reasons, and going alone can be really intimidating, but it can also be the most valuable experience of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's very true. That is so true.
Yep.
Okay, another one I'm terrible at because of this, and everyone is going to be shocked. It's procrastination. I'm a bad procrastinator. I did a couple years ago recognize how much stress was caused by procrastination, So I've gotten a lot better at it. But at college, in a communications class, I did a speech on how to procrastinate. It was such a part of my life that I wanted to fix. So it's an issue, and it's out there, and there's so many things that you can do, because it's so easy to say, oh, I'll do that later, and then 2 years later.
Yep.
I have a sign in my hallway. It's a cut metal sign that says, in my house, that says, a year ago, or no, today, I should walk in there, and it's something to the effect of, like, next year you're going to wish you'd started this today, something along those lines. And another year goes by, oops, I haven't done it. Another year goes by, oops, I haven't done it. And it's very dear to my heart, and a lot of people probably wonder why it's there, but it's because for so long I was such a procrastinator. And I know everyone's like, well, that's not possible. You get so much done. There's a lot of stuff that I haven't gotten done that I want to get done that I'm procrastinating about. But, yeah, procrastination is brutal. It's so hard.
I think I'm an intermittent procrastinator.
Like,
sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. You know what the truth is? I probably procrastinate, like many people, over the things I really don't want to do. I put them off. And that, I think, if I could change one thing, I think you do the unpleasant task first. It just kind of gets you rolling.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway,
so smart.
All right. And here we go. Now, this is something that absolutely will hold you back, and that is just giving up. You know, people who say, I can't deal with it now. I have too much going on. I really need this time to X, Y, Z. And they think, oh, I'll get to it later when, you know, in a heartbeat, later is 10 years. It's kind of what you're saying, like, if you put it off. But I think giving up is the most heartbreaking thing, because life is about maybe giving in, not giving up. You know, kind of figuring out what it is, or trying different things that are going to enrich your life or make you happier, frankly. And I think giving up, again, I just want to say, I think it's the saddest reason not to do something. So
yeah,
if you had to get rid of one trait, that would be the one.
I agree. So personal experience. Is probably the best way to understand this. So we're going to give you some example of risks that we've personally taken, some that have worked, some that that haven't.
Okay.
And we're going to start with just some risks that we've taken. So, Margaret, I'll let you begin.
Okay. Should I do – we did a few each. Do you want me to do all of them, or should we alternate?
We can alternate. That's fine.
Okay. So for me, this didn't take me but a heartbeat to really write down. And that was the biggest risk, and it doesn't sound so risky when I say it, but I picked up a brush and paints again after 30 years. I literally graduated.
What the heck were you doing for 30 years not painting? I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you.
I know.
Good.
You know,
what the heck?
I know.
I don't get that.
I was architecting. I was architecting and designing.
That's the worst.
And granted, I know. And I did, you know, I was the go-to person always in the office to do the renderings and do the drawings. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I was completely out of it. But I kept thinking, oh, I'll paint, you know, what I'm going to get my paints out one of these days. But I didn't. And then I started to be kind of like scared of it, like, oh, I probably won't even be any good anymore. And it was only because circumstances set up. And then the person who was dragging me along to go plein air painting, something I had never done, she ended up getting injured and couldn't go. And I went alone and I had to paint with strangers. Now, all of those things together
Stranger
were
alert, overwhelming
to me. Yes. Well, you know, it was like, here we go. I won't know anyone. What's this going to be like? I had the time of my life. I was scared. I can't even tell you how nervous I was. I made sure I didn't stand like really near a group. I was kind of off on my own. I kind of had to confront, you know, all the fear and the demons, like, what is this going to be like? But the painting was okay. it really, for me, it reignited a fire. And, I mean, look, it changed my life. But I couldn't believe it took me, it was a big hurdle to actually do it. And there was plenty of reasons not to. So all I can say is I will never regret going and doing it and finding out sort of where my heart was after all those years.
Wow. Okay, the biggest risk I took was 5 days into my painting. Do you know what that was? Painting
with
a palette
knife.
Yeah, yeah. Because how many people did you know that painted with a palette knife only? There's like no one, as far as I know. There's a couple Russian guys, but there was no one kind of in the art community that I was in. And it was just kind of something I wanted to do. We had purchased two paintings, Dave and I had. They weren't expensive ones, that had both been painted with the palette knife, and we didn't realize that. We just knew we liked them. And that's what I decided. I go to my first three workshops I took. Every time the instructor would walk over, he'd put my palette knife in my bag. He'd pull out one of my brushes and show me what to do. I did that for three workshops. Because most of the teachers would come to and they're like, oh, I don't know how to paint with the palette knife. And I'm like, wait, it doesn't make a difference what you're using, right? It was really hard. And I had a lot of hurdles that I had to kind of get through my entire art career. But I'm so glad I did it. Because, you know me, I don't follow the rules. And I loved it.
Don't follow the rules.
And my art was different. But it was a big risk. And I was so adamant about not using a brush. I'm going to talk a little bit about that later. But, yeah.
That's because you are tough. You know, I'm not kidding. You've got to be tough. Pull it off.
Yeah,
I think,
you do.
I think it's really, I don't know, kind of invigorating when you hear it. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, look how it distinguished you from everyone else.
Oh, sure.
All right. My second risky thing, the risk that I took, honestly, was the first time I submitted a painting to a juried show. And it, wasn't in person. I'm trying to think of what it was. You know, if I thought long and hard, I'd remember. But I have to tell you, when I got the rejection, I was stunned. I was so sure that little painting was going to be accepted that I literally opened it and went, what?
Oh, boy.
I've gotten a lot better about that. I know a lot of people, listen, this is part of it. I won't say I expect it, but I have no expectations. I figure there's too many variables. It doesn't mean your work is good or bad. And in fact, I know people who have taken the same painting that they really loved. If it gets rejected from one show, they try it in another, and it ends up, winning an award. So it doesn't bother me. But back then, I was scared. And then I was scared and kind of crushed. But it doesn't bother me now, so I guess I learned something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you definitely did.
Yeah.
My next one, which I've already alluded to, was switching from painting palette knife impressionist oils to acrylic abstracts. And that was one that I had some self-doubt, especially because, once again, I wasn't taking abstract classes. I was just figuring it out on my own. And for anyone that's listening to this and thinking, abstracts are so easy, you just like throw the paint on. Not true. They're really hard, so they don't look like you just threw the paint on. And there's a lot of really bad ones out there in my studio that have been gessoed over. It was a biggie. It was a biggie because the main reason is I had spent so much time marketing my art. Then I went and changed my art. So you're almost starting over with a new audience. And that was crazy. And that went from, that applied to teaching my students. And a lot of the, my students actually did take the abstract because they were kind of interested in how the process happened. A lot of them were like, huh, no way. And it was a big risk. But once again, I did it for me. I was searching for something more. I didn't completely abandon the palette knife paintings I did that were oil, impressionist kind of style.
Right.
But in, I did both, but I certainly did more on the abstract side. And it was just, I would be in my studio painting abstracts early on and just giggling because it was so much fun. It still is, don't get me wrong.
Oh.
But, yeah, it was a big risk.
Yeah.
But it worked.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to say my third and final example for myself was quitting my job. That was, boy, it was the right time for me because I was like itching for the change. I would live to paint and I'd be painting like you referenced earlier. I would paint at night. I would paint on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
The truth
was,
I felt like it was time. And I think everyone knows if you've ever listened to this show, I truly did save for a year knowing I was going to do this. I saved every penny because for me, having a cushion was going to make a big difference. What I didn't expect from quitting my job was how many people would want to talk to me about it. People wanted to know why. People wanted to know, was it working? People wanted to know, you know, how did I structure my time? Millions of things. But the truth is, I realized whenever they asked, it was with a little bit of envy or admiration. Because at the end of the day, everyone wants to do something that fulfills them. So I don't regret it a bit. But boy, I was scared out of my wits. So especially the week before, this is my last paycheck.
Yeah. Okay, so the
you?
Last one is pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I was kind of putting my art career on hold to pursue my 100-year-old home. That was not intentional. That just kind of happened. And it's I've never been happier in my entire life. It's the best job in the world. I love it. I get to incorporate everything I've ever enjoyed doing into it, and it's amazing. So it's been great. And, you know, I said to my husband when I finally realized what I wanted to do, and it was kind of happening, and I'm like, wait, maybe I should, like, really focus on this. I was like, okay, I'm not going to make any money for a year. And he's like, what? I said, no, give me a year. Give me a year. And he was like, okay, because he knew he didn't have a choice. Because I really needed to focus 100%. Well, I didn't focus 100%. But the biggest thing was I stopped teaching cold turkey for the first year. And I was like, yep, no more art classes. And I know I angered some of my students who were taking all my classes. They're like, what? And I was like, you know what? I have to do this for me. And it's been amazing.
Yeah.
And I can't – all of my whole reason for doing this was because I was watching Fixer Upper, the TV show. I'm looking at all these houses that had no art in them. They had windows on the walls and signs with words on them. And I was like, where is the art? And I was like, you know, I think I'm going to build my own Instagram. I'm going to build an audience, and then I'm going to introduce a kind of farmhouse collection that's got some abstract realism art. That was my plan. It's just taking longer than I thought.
Hey, you know what? This is the story of life, right? The path is never straight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm gonna talk quickly about my failures because why dwell on these? I will tell you
exactly.
Though, and I'm gonna do all three in one shot.
Good.
Number one, failure. I did not get into that first show, and I just want to be very public and say, and I haven't gotten into plenty. I've gotten into some, and I'm always thrilled. I think the thing I learned is you just have to, like everything else in life, just keep trying. I remember my first year. I set a very lofty goal for income. that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I learned a lot. I learned about what works and what doesn't work, and it turned out just fine. So, you know, I guess the moral to that little story was that I figured out other ways of making some sales, and it's continued to evolve and grow, and I am comfortable with that. And the third thing I did, because I'm a big believer in trying other mediums, is that I just love watercolor paintings. And so I started to dabble and found out I was not good at it. I don't know, maybe I need a good teacher or something. I may explore that. But just sitting down didn't translate. What came out of the end of my brush was wishy-washy and not what I wanted to do. So I went right back and picked up my oils and was very happy to do it. But
mm-hmm.
I think the lesson there is you've got to try things to figure
right.
out what it is that kind of turns your prop. What about
yeah.
you? Got any of those?
Oh, plenty. The first one is in the beginning, I got way caught up in what everyone else was doing. Oh, I wanted to paint like specific artists, and I wasn't thinking about me. Now, part of that's just the education of figuring out how to paint, but
yeah.
I should have probably pulled back and thought what I wanted to do more so than wanting to paint like some particular artists. And then along those lines, I got caught up in the, oh, well, I have to enter shows, and I have to, you know, do this, and I have to be part
yeah.
of the California Art Club. When I had no interest in doing those, but I was doing it because everybody else was. And I thought that's what you needed to to do to be an artist. And then I just finally decided, you know what? This is a weird industry because I'm going to look at it kind of like it's a business and not – I don't know how to say this. I wasn't going to get caught up that everyone did it and how everyone has always done it. The biggest example is galleries. I wanted to be in galleries so badly. And then I realized maybe I really don't want to, because you have to give up a huge percentage because they deserve it, because they're going to sell your art for you.
For sure.
They're not going to sell, quite honestly, probably as many paintings as I do myself, because I think I'm pretty good at marketing. And I went through this whole gallery thing for years and then finally said, this is dumb. I'm going to sell my art online. And that was probably a big pivotal point. So my failure took long, but it led to a good thing, if that makes any sense, which is
Isn't
not
that
bad.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Another thing is I didn't paint enough. That was the biggest failure of my art career. I was spending so much time on marketing because that's my background. That's kind of what makes me click. That's what I love to do. And I should have just been painting more, because I would have like to be a better artist today than I really am, if that makes any sense.
I know what you
that
mean.
That was a, yeah. I should have studied, painted, practiced more than I did. And the last thing is this Instagram account that I started to create an audience for my art for a collection that never happened. Hello? It's been 2 years, so let's darn well hope I get that done by May.
Oh,
because
I have no doubt, because you'll want it on the walls of your house.
Well, thank heavens I have that goal, because otherwise I don't know. The biggest problem, and this is going to I'm going to be totally honest, I'm kind of nervous to do this, because I feel like I have one shot. This is where I'm like, this is all the stuff we talked about earlier in the show, but I'm being honest.
That's right.
I feel like I have one shot and I have to do it right. And I've been so busy, I haven't had the time, and it's going to take a lot more time than I think it is to get this collection right. And I have to make sure that I can give it the time to do it. And I think it's called procrastination a little bit. There's all those things we talked about. But that's a biggie.
Very
That's
cool.
a biggie.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
Right.
So,
well, let's move on to the
successes,
huh?
Pardon?
This is fun.
Yeah.
I said talking about the successes are fun.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'll just jump in and say certainly I list among my successes the fact that I have been able to sell some of my work, and I really do. You know, I hate to get down to the material, but that is very rewarding. Another one was that I applied to the Copley Society and I was accepted. So I was thrilled because that was sort of an external way of kind of, you know, approving of what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Leslie, I know you're going to laugh, but I was bound and determined to reach 1,000 followers on Instagram, which I did. I've got a few more. But for me, that was just, I just wanted more people to be seeing what I was doing. And so, you know, it's a very, what's the word I want? Very measurable way of setting a goal and meeting it, meager though it may be. It was, you know, it was something that I had hoped for and I felt like I accomplished. What about you?
Okay, why do you think I would laugh? Did you forget that there was a day when I hit 1,000 Instagram followers and it was a massively huge big deal? You all have,
there
we all have those. No, and you have to realize that. We all have those points. Don't get, you know, I remember looking at people that had 100,000 and thinking, oh, yeah, I'll never get there. It can happen. It really can. So don't belittle your milestones because everyone has to go through them, all of them. So
yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
My successes would certainly be this show. It's going on the eighth year,
holy
a weekly
smokes.
Radio show, which Margaret well knows how much time it takes. And
yes.
Before the show, we were talking about getting a little more organized and planning our shows a little farther in advance. But just so you know, I've been saying that for 7 years. So I'm not sure it can happen.
Oh, every artist listening understands that.
I know.
No, that's
talk
sort of
about procrastination. Oh, no, it's Wednesday night. We need a show for tomorrow. Never said that before every week. No, that's been truly one of my biggest successes because I do love to share. And anything I can share with you, Margaret, and you've done so much for this show. It's unbelievable. But anything that we can share to help other people makes every second of this non-paid job worth it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Another success is definitely my sales, and that's just been something that I worked really hard in marketing and figured out some fun things with my art, and it's been great.
Yep.
And the same goes along with my teaching. That was my favorite thing to do, 100%. Way more fun than just painting in my studio alone. I'm a share kind of gal. I love teaching. And the last thing is this crazy 100-year-old home Instagram thing that I've been on. I still can't understand what's happening and why, but it's been really fun. And I can't wait to be able to kind of bring my art back into it because that will be the full circle of everything I love
really
to do.
It really will.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's been good. But someday Instagram may not be, you know, like Facebook's kind of faltered a little bit.
Yeah.
It really has, and I'm sure that's going to happen to Instagram. So this year my focus is going to be my blog because that's something that you always will have and no one can take it away or add an algorithm or do anything, and it's kind of a little bit of reinventing. Oh, goody. But, yeah. Yeah.
But we don't want you to get complacent, so.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So we have some recommendations of things we think you should do to wrap up the show and kind of how to guide you maybe to take some of these risks. And the first thing is decide what you want from this year. And that should be big things and small things. Make them so scary that you'll never do them.
Right.
It's the little steps, big steps kind of thing. And sometimes it takes a lot of little steps to get to the big step, but just think about what you want from this year. If you want to start teaching, oh my gosh, we did the best show ever like 3 years ago. I remember writing it on an airplane about how to start teaching workshops, and it's all about practicing. The first thing you do is when you're painting, talk out loud when you're painting and explain to a pretend class how you're doing it, because practice will help you so much. Get some artist friends over and do a practice workshop. I mean, there's so many things you can do, and it's a great, great show. But just figure out what you want from the year and do it.
Love it. Yep. Okay. The second thing, take the time and actually listen to yourself. It's really easy to just make a list of goals or the goals that you think you should have. But
yeah.
I just want to stress that I think the best motivation in the world is if something makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
So start right there. What is it that you really love to do? And whether it sells or doesn't sell, whether it's popular or not, whether other people like it, blah, 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 do what you want to do, because that's how you build success.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, it's funny because I'm imagining someone listening to those things and thinking, but I have to sell, I have to pay my mortgage. It's not an either or. You can, I think it's about being smarter. And that's what my big goal for this year too. Because I ran myself around in November and December with the collaborations I did, and Margaret knows, it was brutal. Sadly, my pre-Christmas time, of course, filming a movie at the house probably wasn't all that smart, but anyway, it was brutal. And I do think that I'm going to be a lot smarter this year. And that is so important, you guys, because if you have to sell, be smarter. And sometimes you have to make little tiny sacrifices with your art. There may be a slight change you could make that would build a bigger audience for your art. And maybe it's just spending more time in marketing and getting out of the studio and doing that. I don't know what it is, but yeah. You need to get happy, as Margaret said. But like, I started this whole thing and found this great job and didn't realize there was a way to make money at it. And that's when I said to my husband, "Oh, give me a year. I think there's a chance." And it all worked out. So the next thing is, which we've talked about so much today, is get out of your comfort zone. It's not terrifying. And even if you don't find success, you'll find that you survive and even grow from your failures. And making a mistake is not a failure. It's a way to discover maybe a new way to go. And I would say, as an artist, just keep pushing yourself and enjoy the journey. It's not about the destination. It's 100% about the journey. And so you're going to try something and go, that didn't work. Or, ooh, that's awesome. I want to figure out a way to keep doing that. And maybe you're doing multiple things at the same time just to kind of dabble. And that's a good thing.
Right.
But don't get caught up and pigeonholed in the same thing every day, because your creativity will go wonky, unfortunately.
That's true. That is true. Okay, the next thing is set goals and write them down. That, you know, over and over again, you hear that, but by God, it's true. Write them down, and then, you know what? Post that list somewhere so that you can see it. You know, having that sort of visual reminder is the best motivation. And then I don't know what else to call this except find a support group to talk about your goals and your strategy. And in all likelihood, that's going to be some small gathering of other artists, because I'm not sure anybody else can really understand the way this all builds on itself. But the other thing is, take a look at what other people who are in, like, in the art world have done. What is it that they did last year that seemed to work? And if you find this group and you can talk about it, it's such a great motivation for you. So
yeah.
I think setting goals, writing them down, and then finding someone that can help you stay the course.
That's awesome. That's so great.
Yep.
And you want to think about what it is that's preventing you from kind of taking risks. Is there a way around that obstacle? And you, part of me is like, you can do it. You just have to kind of figure out a way to try some different things.
Yeah.
And maybe it's that your painting is amazing and you just need to spend more time marketing. Or maybe you want to spend more time painting. There's so many things. Don't, you know, try 10 new things. It's overwhelming and you'll probably never continue doing any of them. But just think about what right. obstacles that you're faced with and just kind of work through them. And just be right. realistic.
Because
just, and right. you have all the because, time in the world. You don't have to do it by the end of the month. You can do it by the end of the year.
I love it. And then this
yeah.
is our final tip, I think. And it's, you know what? Go ahead and give in. Imagine the worst thing that could happen. And usually you find out, right? It's not really that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to laugh because I had the words of Stapleton Kearns ringing in my head. You know, no matter how old you are, you're not as young as you think. So get moving. It's like his big thing is, you know, spring chicken.
Oh, I love that.
He said that to a 32-year-old, which I think you got to get moving and really enjoy your art and enjoy your life. And if you're
yeah.
not where you want to be, think about how to get there. But don't sort of miss enjoying sort of today. Right back
right.
to that. Enjoy where you are right now, because after all, I mean, that's what this whole life is about.
I totally agree.
Too short,
and I have to say
yeah.
that this is all positive. This is such a great thing
yeah.
that we can do as artists. And you have no idea where you're going to be a year from now. And that's exciting because
yeah.
you can just make it happen. You really can. So I don't know. I'm excited. I can't believe where I am right now, but it's all good.
I still can't believe it's 2019, but it is.
I know.
So,
I know. It's crazy.
There you go.
It's crazy.
It
hey, we
run.
Have a show for next week and the
yeah,
following week.
We do.
Next week, we're doing a
about
show
that.
On Shopify. You guys, this is a way you can sell your art directly from Instagram, and it's not expensive. Mm-hmm. And by
yep.
next Thursday, I'm going to know everything there is about it. So I'm very excited. And I think it's a great tool for every single artist out there. So you want to listen to this show for sure. And the following week, Margaret?
Oh, yes. We have a return guest. I personally can't wait to talk to Simi Jackson, who is Simi from Rosemary Brushes, for anybody who follows them. And we're going to find out all the new stuff, new products, what's going on sort of in their new location. I know they're hosting workshops. I want to hear all about that. But I also have asked her if we can sort of go back to Brushes 101 and talk about, you know, what the different materials and hairs, what can they do? How should you treat your brushes? How long should a brush last? These are big investments, and for me, it's like one of the real delights of my life is opening up a new package of brushes. I feel like they're just waiting to sort of spill good things out of them. But anyway, Simi will answer all of our questions. If anybody has any questions that they would like asked, please, you know, email Leslie or myself. Visit us on Instagram and just fire a question to us, direct message, whatever. We will make sure we get that covered when we talk to Simi.
Wonderful. Love it,
right.
love it, love it. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, Leslie.
Yeah.
Good luck
we are
with
good
the
to
house.
Go.
And, let's delve into, dive into Shopify head first. and I'm looking forward to that. So there you go.
No, I am too. I think it's such a huge tool, and I thought it was super expensive, and I did a little research, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's practically free. Why wouldn't you use it? So, no, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
So. All right, my dear,
right.
great show. Thank you
talk
so much for doing all of this, and we'll talk next week.
And thank you. You
Take
bet.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.